Brother Richard Dock, you're thinking of his dad. His subject is, by love, serve one another. By love, serve one another. Brother Richard.
The theme text for this afternoon's topic comes from Paul's epistle to the Galatians. We read this in the fifth chapter of Galatians, beginning in verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And we thought the positive way the apostle states this is by love serve one another. But he also treats this negative aspect of unprofitable fellowship. So we have several questions to ask ourselves about fellowship. When we fellowship at the meeting, gathering of the Lord's saints, do we talk about people? Or do we talk about God's principles? When you're in disagreement with your brother, do you condemn him? Are you sure that in God's eyes, your position is completely just? Let us consider a proper Christian response to some of these questions. We can take a familiar example. It's not a present-day example, but almost so. Our Pastor Russell's ministry. What would you say about an individual who was evil spoken of during periods of trial by brethren, close brethren who were his associates, even by his wife, who was vilified in pulpits across the continent, who was humiliated publicly in a trial, who was evil spoken of in more than one major newspaper? Was it just what happened to him? No, it was unjust. The evil speaking that went on was unwarranted and unjust. But what was the mature response of this beautiful Christian character? We read in the fourth volume forward, page 5. We have nothing, this is a quote, we have nothing to say respecting people. We discuss principles, doctrine, always. Individuals, never. And that's in very large letters in my edition. God has not commissioned us to discuss people. It is ours to discuss His Word. Now, I think today we find ourselves in a situation where there is a possibility for evil speaking to occur. And our Lord Jesus treats the proper course of conduct for His people in taking care of this in the 18th chapter of Matthew, verses 15 to 17. Matthew 18, 15 to 17. We read, Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take thee one or two more, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear thee, take it unto the church. Tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Why is it that there is such a consistent violation of these principles amongst us? These aren't my thoughts. These are the thoughts of Pastor Russell in reprint 4191. I quote, How long will it require for the Lord's dear followers to learn the meaning and proper application of Matthew 18:15 to 17? failure to note and use properly this rule seems to us the taproot of nearly every difficulty amongst the brethren in every quarter. We have made this matter as plain as we know how in the Dawn Studies, Volume 6. Just interject at this point. This is the sixth volume, pages 289 through 293, under the subheading, Discipline in the Ecclesia. And now back to the quote. Yet we are surprised and grieved to note blunders along this line by some of the most advanced of the dear members of Christ. The usual sophistry by which the old man sets aside this divine principle is to conclude that it is not applicable in this instance, or to be persuaded that he does not know how to apply it in his case and must ask the counsel of others. The very thing he should understand is forbidden by the Lord's words, "Go to him, and between thee and him alone tell him of the fault, of his fault." Continuing. Again, few seem to understand that the conference is not to reprove or rebuke or humiliate or punish the one who is in error. All that is for the Lord to attend to. The Lord will judge his people. Our object should be to get the wrong thing stopped and thus gain the brother. It is safe to suppose, therefore, that our Lord's counsel is generally needed. First cast out the beam from thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to pluck out the mote from thy brother's eye. So then, before attempting to apply Matthew 18:15 through 17, it would be wise to kneel down before God and get our hearts very humble and loving and very free from bitterness before making the first move. Then read afresh the scriptures and the comments in the Dawn Studies, Volume 6, and then proceed very carefully, fearing to touch amiss matters which mean so much to one of the least of these. And we end our quote at this point. Now, I've applied Matthew 18 on occasions, perhaps with one of you brethren here, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. I think that if you were to come to a brother, you may not have known I was applying Matthew 18, but if you were to come to a brother and say, "Brother, I'm going to confront you along the lines of Matthew 18 as set forth by our Lord, and as Brother Russell explained it in Volume 6 of Scripture Studies under the Discipline of the New Creation," brother's going to back off right at that point and become very nervous and unwilling to listen to you further. I have also on occasion failed to apply the principles of Matthew 18. I have engaged in the sort of sophistry that Brother Russell condemns. And you know, I didn't like the results. It wasn't effective in regaining my brother. We would commend Brother Russell has many articles dealing with the application of Matthew 18, and we would commend an article entitled "The Scriptural Rule for Adjusting Misunderstandings." This is reprint number 49, 84, and 85. The paragraph that begins, "There are no exceptions to the rule laid down in Matthew 18, 15 to 17," could be read with profit. But there's another paragraph I wish to read from the pastor's pen. And we quote, "The great difficulty in the cases of misunderstanding is that the Lord's counsel is not accurately followed. Good, honorable brethren, anxious to do right, who apparently would be quite competent to advise others, seem to think that theirs is a different case, seem not to exercise the proper judgment. Instead of going to the brother and speaking kindly, he meets the brother and says, 'Brother, you have done so-and-so.' He goes to the brother not to be reconciled, but rather dictatorially to show him that there is something wrong. That is not the right way to go about the matter. As surely as justice is the foundation of God's throne, just so surely are those who pursue this course failing to follow the principles of justice. They are failing to develop the Lord's character and will fail to win the prize. The spirit of the Lord's injunction is to help a brother. And we end our quote at that point. We would also strongly commend an article from the reprints entitled, Because the Days Are Evil. This is reprint 3593. It has in here a section, a subheading called 12 Rules for These Evil Days. We remember the first rule, don't we? It's one that we wouldn't want to violate the first rule. Number one, let each resolve to mind his own business. That's Brother Russell's first rule for these evil days. How much energy, how much spiritual energy is sapped from us as an ecclesia by discussions that deal with the business of others that is not properly the business of the ecclesia, or if it is, hasn't been presented along the lines of Matthew 18. How much of our discussion is on people and pettiness rather than principle? This is a good first rule. And I'd like to read the other 11 rules quickly as a survey. Rule number two. We should exercise great patience with others and their faults, more than in dealing with our own shortcomings. And there's a good quote that I think some of us are familiar with from the Manna text. This comes from reprint 3858, and it's so good that I wanted to tie it in at this point. Brother Russell says this, and I quote, "The organs of combativeness and destruction, which serve a Christian soldier in good stead, if directed against his own weaknesses and blemishes, are sadly out of place when, ignoring his own weaknesses, he merely becomes contentious with the brethren, often over nothing or over questions whose importance he exaggerates because of his contentious spirit. Earnest contending is not to be done in a biting and devouring manner. It is to be done with patience and long-suffering, brotherly kindness, love." That was reprint 3858. Let's enumerate the rest of the rules. Rule number three. Do not be touchy or easily offended. Rule number four. If you have been slandered, you may explain to set right either publicly or privately what the record is, but do no more than this. He says, but surely avoid doing more than this. Brother Russell said that based on practical experience. He was humiliated in one of his libel suits against a newspaper. Rule number five, evil speaking, backbiting, and slandering are strictly forbidden to God's people, as wholly contrary to the spirit of love, even if the evil thing be true. What follows this rule in the reprint article is a very excellent discussion, a very practical discussion on Matthew 18. You can find many lengthy practical discussions on Matthew 18. It's hard to read through Brother Russell's writings and not conclude that he felt very strongly that the application of Matthew 18 would be a tremendous blessing to the brethren. Rule number six. God's people should beware of pride as they would avoid the most deadly plague. Rule number seven. Be pure and maintain a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Rule number eight. Let us seek more and more to understand and come into sympathy with the principles that underlie divine law. Not with the outward forms, with the principles that underlie divine law. Rule number nine, shun a contentious and fault-finding disposition as contrary to the spirit of Christ, as contrary to love. Rule number 10, beware of all thoughts, feelings, and conditions directly or remotely connected with malice, envy, strife, and hatred. keep your hearts, your wills, your intentions and desires full of love towards God and all His creatures. Rule number 11, do not trust your conscience. If it were a sufficient guide, you would not need the scriptures. That's Brother Russell's quote. Rule number 12, do not be bold except for the right, the truth. As we follow the 12 rules in this reprint, and that was number 3593, it's a beautiful article, let us remember to be instant in prayer and continually to beseech our Heavenly Father for His grace to assist us in carrying out these rules. We read further in reprint 3940, sometimes the application of these rules just is not effective amongst the brethren. And Brother Russell says this, and we're quoting from reprint 3940, "There is generally a peaceful way of settling all differences, and our Lord Himself has set it forth. But where all else fails, rather than allow the spirit of brotherhood to fail, it were far better that those who find themselves totally unable to fellowship in love together should seek to maintain fellowship together in a spirit by a separation, as in the case of Abraham and Lot. Nevertheless, while this is to be approved as a final resort, rather than to have internal strife, the necessity for such a course would certainly be lamentable." He goes on to explain it's lamentable because it shows that the proper development of character was not taking place amongst the brethren. Let us follow the apostles' admonition. Let us be eager to maintain the bonds of unity as presented Ephesians 4:23. And let us, by love, serve one another. And may the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Richard, for those thoughts on how to walk in a more pleasing manner to the Lord. The Christian walk is very diversified, and there are many things that we have to learn. I like the thought of the brother not to trust your conscience. We should constantly endeavor to make sure we have the Lord's viewpoint of things. Thank you, Brother Richard.